Lord Jesus, thank you so much, God, for this day that you have made. Thank you so much for your new mercies this morning. Thank you, God, for the grace that you continue to pour out on us, that we have the privilege to come here and meet as a community to seek you. Lord, I just pray, God, that you would open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, that we can receive the fullness of what you have for us today, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So welcome to day 37 of Lent, and as we've been doing, we've been following along with the One app. So today's scripture reading comes from Matthew chapter 23, as well as Ephesians chapter 6. So why don't I start by reading Matthew chapter 23, verses 1 to 22. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat. So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach but do not practice. They tie up heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to move them with their finger. They do all their deeds to be seen by others, for they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long. And they love the place of honor at feasts and the best seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the marketplaces and being called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brothers. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Christ. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourselves, nor allow those who would enter to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath. You blind fools, for which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing. But if anyone swears by the gift that is on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, for which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? So whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by it and by him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it." Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. "In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Now here's a devotion from the One app. "Satan dislikes it when God's children are strong and endeavors to destroy their faith with his many schemes. Therefore, the fourth piece of armor God promises Christians is the shield of faith, which extinguishes all the flaming darts of the evil one. The Bible emphasizes the importance of keeping one's heart in the right place. Indeed, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. How then do we keep our heart and shield it from evil? We must first store up God's word in our heart so that we might not sin against him. Secondly, we must trust in God's promises and walk in his way with obedience. The fifth piece of armor is the helmet of salvation, which is metaphorical of protecting our thinking regarding salvation. Satan often uses half-truths to lead people away from God's word. Many misunderstand what God's love means and have no assurance of salvation. If Christians understand that we are saved by grace through faith and not by our own works, then we have full assurance of our salvation and adoption as God's children. The sixth piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is God's word. Our regard for God's word determines whether we will walk in a manner worthy of God's calling. If we have a correct understanding of God's word and walk according to it, we will be able to overcome temptations like Jesus did three times in the wilderness." Okay, so today I kind of want to actually go along with this devotion that was provided by the One app and namely focus really on, I guess, what they call the fourth piece of armor, which is the shield of faith. So let me just read again from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16, this time from the NASB. "In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." So I guess in given all the current circumstances, I'm sure many of us have been hearing the word faith quite a lot, and we've probably actually been saying it quite a lot as well. And so I felt, really compelled to actually look deeper into this and what it really means to take up the shield of faith. So here we're talking about the armor of God, as Paul depicts it. He illustrates a depiction which is alludes to battle. Like a war type scenario. And he's talking about the armor that he saw being used by the Roman soldiers around him at the time. So looking at the shield, apparently the shield was actually not your typical shield. When you think shield, you might think to say Captain America or Wonder Woman, those little round circular things that, barely cover half their bodies, right? This actually wasn't that. According to scholars, according to historians and theologians, they say that the shield that the Roman soldiers used, and particularly what Paul was talking about, was a big rectangular kind of door-like structure. So it was actually made of wood, and it was at least 5 feet tall. So it's quite a big thing, and it's quite a powerful piece of equipment that could actually be used offensively as well as defensively. So the shield was often used to, say, push back the enemy. But of course, the primary purpose was to protect. And if you'll notice, this is a big protective piece of equipment that could probably even protect the other armor that you have. And protect against what? Well, among all different types of attacks, particularly Paul talks about the flaming arrows of the enemy. And so what they would do with these shields actually is that they would wrap it in an animal hide, so leather pretty much, and then they would wet the leather. And when the leather was wet with water, if a flaming arrow struck it or hit it, the moisture from the leather would actually extinguish the flame. So just exactly like Paul was talking about. Another really important note and an interesting note that I want to point out is that apparently, these shields were used in very strategic manner. So it wouldn't be used in all kinds of battle because obviously they were hard to move around with. But it would particularly be used when, say, the soldiers were advancing, or when they were about to besiege the enemy city or an enemy stronghold. And so it was, often used when they came to sort of the last line of defense of the enemy, and almost you could say when they were on the cusp of victory. Now, as I think about this, I wonder, is this representative of current times? This imagery of being on the cusp. And, if you will recall, over the past few weeks or past few months, actually, what's been spoken by our very own pastors seems to be quite in line. Think about how many times we've heard the words kairos moment or pivotal moment or this momentous time in history. And I just wonder, are we right now, at the cusp of something big, like a big move of God? Not to say that God's not moving already, but just a time where we get to experience and witness all that. But let's say, okay, that being said, so what does it really mean, and how do we actually take up the shield of faith? I don't know if I can offer the exact answers here today, but in thinking about this, I just want to kind of lead you through my reflection and my thought process of this. But in thinking about this, I was really drawn to the story of Jesus calming the storm. And probably partly because most, if not all of us here today, are in a pretty stormy place or a pretty stormy season right now. So if you'd like to turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, you don't have to, I'll just read it out. But I'll start with Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Now, I'm going to skip to verse 23. When he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being covered with the waves. But Jesus himself was asleep. And they came to him and woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we're perishing." And he said to them, "Why are you afraid, you men of little faith?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of a man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So when I look at this story and I think about faith, in the context of faith, this passage seems to almost show an example of what not to do, right? Because in the end, the disciples get called out by Jesus for their lack of faith. So then if I relate this to the Ephesians passage, I guess it was like, you know, the disciples weren't taking up the shield of faith. But then when I thought about it a little bit more, I found it a bit puzzling, right? So the disciples follow Jesus. They follow him onto this boat, and then trouble comes by way of a storm. Their life is threatened. So the disciples, what do? They come to Jesus, and they ask him to save them. Now, when I think about this, it's kind of like, isn't that what we're supposed to do, though? You know, when we come into a challenging time, aren't we supposed to seek Jesus? Aren't we supposed to cry out to him? And so I was a little bit puzzled. But then, you know, I thought about it a little bit more, and Jesus questions them and asks, you know, why are you afraid? Implying that maybe that's the problem. Maybe they're not supposed to be afraid. And so this is the part that I always tended to focus on when I read this passage. And I thought this surely was the major error of the disciples. So the answer is to not be afraid, right? So does taking up the shield of faith mean to tell myself that I'm not afraid? You know, is taking up the shield of faith equivalent to me every morning or in every situation mentally, like psyching myself up and saying, I'm not afraid, I'm not afraid, fear not, I'm not afraid. You know, is that what it's about? Well, I don't know about you, but in my personal history, that in itself, in and of itself, hasn't worked very well. There's always a time, a breaking point, where death just doesn't hold. So then, let's ask the question, well, why were the disciples afraid? So they thought they were going to die, right? They thought their life was in imminent danger. But, okay, so does that mean if we're in danger and we cry out to God, that shows a lack of faith? Yeah, see, I don't know about that either. And maybe we're just not getting the full picture yet. So let's take this a little further. Did the disciples thinking that they might die oppose some kind of truth or some kind of reality, if you will? Well, actually, yeah. You know, if we look back to verse 18, and I'll read it again. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side of the sea. Actually, in Mark's account of this story, Jesus is quoted as saying, "Let us go to the other side." In other words, Jesus said, "We're going to the other side." And in other words, the destination is not the middle of the sea. It's the other side. So see, perishing in the sea, which is what the disciples thought was about to happen, was not any part of the statement that Jesus made. Okay, but these disciples, right, they gave up their professions. They basically dropped everything to follow Jesus, and that's why they're on this boat. But what happened? They just forget what Jesus had said before? Or was it that, you know, their circumstances were just so great, and it just seemed so much greater than what Jesus said? Yeah, I mean, probably all of the above, right? But what happened? You know, what happened to their faith? Well, I guess the biggest clue that I've found, or that kind of struck me, was in the last passage, the last verse of this passage, verse 27. So let me read it. The men were amazed and said, "What kind of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" So after Jesus calmed the storm, you know, quite miraculously, the disciples asked, "What kind of a man is this?" Now, that implies to me, actually, that the disciples didn't really know Jesus. Well, okay, they knew him. They knew him enough to follow him, right? They knew him enough to come to him. They knew him enough to call him Lord, even, and ask him to save them. But I guess they didn't know him enough to believe that he actually could in this situation, or maybe even would. So, you know, what I deduce from this passage is that, you know, truly knowing God is imperative to having faith. Well, that sounds like a pretty obvious statement, but, you know, in many ways at times, you know, aren't we like the disciples? I mean, for me personally, I know that I find myself in their shoes quite often. You see, we're willing to follow Jesus, and we get on a boat because he led us there. But then trouble comes and we cry out, "God, where are you? You know, God, what are you doing? Are you going to help me?" And you know, some of these questions are not necessarily bad questions. In fact, they're quite important questions to ask. But I wonder if maybe sometimes we ask because we don't fully know the one that we're calling Lord. You know, another interesting thing that I want to point out here is that the disciples got on the boat when Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." Do you remember what happened once they got to the other side? Jesus basically faced off with a gang of demons called Legion, right? And he cast them into a bunch of pigs and freed a man into eternal life. Now, what does that sound like? That sounds to me pretty glorious, and that sounds like victory, doesn't it? Does it not? And remember how we were talking about how the shield was used. It was used in pivotal moments, like when the army was about to besiege the enemy city or free the city of the enemy and obtain victory. And I guess if we relate this to current times, you know, it's very well possible that we're on the verge of something. We're on the verge of something big, of witnessing a huge victory of God. But right now, where are we? You know, we're on a boat. We're in the middle of a storm. And I guess my prayer, for at least for myself and for all of us, is that, you know, when it comes down to it, that Jesus doesn't turn to us and say, you know, "You have little faith." Or as Luke puts it, he says, "Where is your faith?" And I know, you know, we've probably all heard this time and time again in the last few days and the last few weeks, that God is probably looking right now for people of faith. And it's time when we need to be taking up the shields of faith. But what I really want to stress and emphasize today is, do we really know the Jesus that we followed onto this boat? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not suggesting that any of you don't know Jesus, right? But maybe, I mean, just maybe we've gotten so preoccupied over the years by trying to figure out what he's doing or even what he's not doing or what his plans are for us, instead of actually just seeking to know who he is. So I want to just call us to, you know, take a little bit of time to reflect today. And I want to invite whoever is doing worship to lead us in a bit. But we're all in a collective situation right now, you know, with the coronavirus and all that's going on. But each of us, we have our own unique situations, and we're all in our own unique boats. You know, now maybe some of us, if we're honest, we didn't necessarily follow Jesus onto his boat, and maybe we're on our own boats. And so if that's you, then maybe it's time to repent and get right with him. But for those of us who, you know, truly feel like we followed him and we're struggling a little bit to take up the shield of faith, maybe it's just time to fix our eyes on Jesus. Not just his feet or where he's going, not only his hands or what he's doing, but on his face, on his entirety, you know, with a desire to know him more, to truly know him for who he is. So let's just spend some time right now in reflection, in prayer, and in worship.
Thank you for the cross.
Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing. Thank you for this love. Thank you for the miracle hands. Wash me in your cleansing flow. Now all I know is your forgiveness and praise. Crown you now with many crowns.
All right, so as we move into a time of corporate prayer, just want to pray this one at prayer. Father, we pray for gender equality in our community, that you would raise women and men to the fullness of their gifting. Lord, use us to help put an end to gender discrimination. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's move to community prayer. Let's pray for all those who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's just pray for God's healing, and let's pray for strength, and let's pray for His peace to be with them. Pray for all those in our community who are sick, but also really need salvation. So let's pray for God's healing, but let's also pray for His word of salvation. Let's also pray for, you know, everyone who's suffering from non-cancer related illnesses, infirmities. Let's lift up, lift them up for, you know, God's healing and strength and his full restoration. Next slide. Let's lift up those who are looking for jobs. Let's pray for God's provision and for him to open up doors of opportunity. Let's go to our mission focus. Let's pray for Singapore, SBSG with P. Sam Kim, Indonesia, SPIN, P. Selamat, Philippines, Spill with Ernie, and SB New York with Ruth, Jess, and Kelly. Let's lift them up. For our education ministries, SP Kids, led by P. Mary and Lisa, SP Youth, led by Donald, and SPU, led by P. Andrew. Prayer and Healing Ministries, IP Team led by Matt, The Well, and River led by Rachel. Let's pray for our outreach ministries, SP Lights and Homie Ministry, which is suspended for now, but let's lift up the poor in Hong Kong. Pray for our house churches. Although we're on break, we're still meeting on Sundays. Let's pray for East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Lift up Hong Kong right now. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for all the medical workers. Let's pray for all the people. Let's pray for just hearts to turn to God. Thank you. just come before you, God. And, you know, we want to be faithful, God. We want to take up the shield of faith and extinguish all the flaming arrows of the enemy. Lord, we want to trust in you. And so in this time, Lord, I just pray, God, that, yeah, you know, when the time comes that we would ask what your plan is and what you're doing. But for now, Lord, I pray, God, that our primary focus would be on just knowing you more, God, knowing you more deeply, knowing you more fully. And I pray, God, that in this time, Lord God, that as we sit with you, that you would just give us greater revelation of who you are, God, through experience, through your words, Lord God, and just really just in a time of being in your presence, Lord. So, Lord, as we go out today, Lord, I just really pray, God, that wherever we're going, at work or in our homes, Lord God, in our families, Lord, I just pray, God, that you would connect us to you, God, that our eyes can be fixed on you, that we would continue to look at you and just continue to know you, God, and know you more. So we just thank you, and I pray that you continue to stir up this desire in us, and I pray that you would cover us and cover our land today. Lord, we thank you, God. We bless you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Have a great day.